You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. There's a lot to get to. Tennessee now has 19 straight wins in basketball. The Vols beat South Carolina on Wednesday night. Tennessee gets the 85-73 win. Up next, Kentucky. Coming up here in the first segment of the show, South Carolina coach Frank Martin really praises Tennessee's basketball team, the number of things that Tennessee does well to knock out its opponents. You'll hear Frank Martin talk about that here in the first segment. South Carolina did hit a lot of threes last night. South Carolina was really effective behind the three-point line, hitting 14 threes against Tennessee. Is that any concern to Rick Barnes? He'll talk about that. And Admiral Schofield takes a quick moment to look ahead to Kentucky, Tennessee's opponent coming up on Saturday. Tomorrow's show will be very heavy in helping preview the Tennessee-Kentucky game, which is going to have a lot of attention on Saturday. Can't wait for it. So segment number one, a lot of Tennessee basketball. And segment number two, an SEC coach called out Tennessee's football team. Really, that's kind of calling out Jeremy Pruitt. That happened earlier this week. You'll hear more about that in segment number two on today's show. And in segment number three, earlier in the week, SB Nation's S&P Plus projections had Tennessee in the top 25 for 2019. Bill Conley, who runs those numbers, explains why Tennessee is there and discusses the questions he still has about Tennessee. That's coming up in segment number three. So there is a lot to get to, and we'll get right to it on Locked On Vols, your team every day available pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts, including if you get in your car, you want to fire the podcast up on your smartphone, just tell your smartphone to play podcast Locked On Vols. So Tennessee gets the win by 12 points against South Carolina. It's kind of funny that the last three games have now been decided by 12 points against Missouri, Florida, and South Carolina. It was another one where Tennessee was never really in jeopardy of losing the game through the second half. It was close for a stretch in the first half, and then Tennessee pulled away, and it remained there. South Carolina kept hitting threes in the second half, and I kept looking up at the scoreboard, and it would still be a 12-point game, 13-point game, 15-point game. South Carolina was 14 of 23 from behind the three-point line. Here's something that can't happen very often. I wouldn't imagine. South Carolina hit 61% of its three-point shots and 30% of its two-point shots. Part of that is defense by Tennessee. It was difficult for South Carolina to get good shots around the rim, but the shooting percentages are something you're not really going to see very often. 61% from behind the three-point line, 30% from two, and 58% from the free throw line. So the three-point shooting from South Carolina was better than two-point shooting and free throws. Rick Barnes talked about, though, the three-point defense for Tennessee and South Carolina knocking down shots. Here's what Rick Barnes said after the game regarding South Carolina hitting all those threes.
I thought in transition we weren't very good, and then a couple of plays on the out-of-bounds play we had pre-switched, and then we forgot what we were doing. And some of them were covered, some of them weren't. But the ones that really, they all bother you, but they're going to make some of them. But the fact is, it's the ones we gave up in transition and the ones we gave up off offensive rebounds, which weren't as many as we had been giving up. But we still weren't as good as we needed to be guarding the three-point line. But they made the shots. You got to give them, they made them.
And Rick is correct. South Carolina hit a number of shots that were tough, and the Gamecocks deserve credit for that. That is still something that I think is going to be a point of emphasis heading into the Kentucky game. At Rupp, on the road, and this is going to be a discussion with most of the games for Tennessee moving forward, but specifically to Saturday, on the road, Tennessee does not want to be giving up uncontested threes, and Tennessee does not want Kentucky to shoot. If it goes 60% from behind the three-point line, then Tennessee is going to have a very difficult time winning against the Wildcats. Typically, you're going to have a difficult time against anybody that shoots that well, and I should point out, Tennessee hit 45% of its threes and was right at about 50 for a lot of the game. Tennessee hit 9 three-pointers itself. So part of it for Tennessee and still getting a sizable win is that Tennessee shot really well. Tennessee was 49% from the field. So when you look at their numbers, Tennessee was 25 of 39 from two, much better than South Carolina was. But against Kentucky, it does need to be better, and I think Rick Barnes knows that. I think Tennessee's coaches know that and the players, and they've talked about this a lot this season. internally and with us, the media. So there's one thought from the game last night. Now, there is also what Tennessee is doing offensively. I mentioned those numbers. Tennessee also hit all 8 of its free throw attempts. Tennessee was 8 of 8 at the free throw line. Tennessee just does so many things well offensively. I think the conversation often right now starts with Jordan Bone and what he's doing. And, I mean, look at last night. Tennessee had 5 guys score more points than Grant Williams. Grant Williams is the favorite to be the SEC Player of the Year. He only had 8 points for Tennessee on 8 shots, by the way. I mean, he's efficient there. 8 points, 7 assists, 9 rebounds for Grant Williams. Tennessee was led by Admiral Schofield with 21 points. Kyle Alexander, Jordan Bone, and Lamonte Turner all scored 10. And then off the bench, Jordan Bowden scored 16 points. So with the conversation here starting with Jordan Bone, listen to what Frank Martin said about Tennessee and all that the Vols are able to do to cause problems for its opponents.
Jordan Bone presents a problem for everyone in the country, not just us. You know, some teams you play and they play spread, pick, and roll. So all you have to do is worry about guarding ball screens. You know, when you play Tennessee, they said pin downs, they said staggers, they said cross screens, they say flares. They're constantly screening you. So, you know, it's when you're trying to and they don't get out of the way. When Rick tells them to screen, Grant Williams is Player of the Year in this league. You know what he does? He screens. He don't miss. AJ, Keyshawn, Trey, our defensive principles have gotten a lot better when we play teams that just kind of spread the court. When we play teams that just pummel us and hit us and hit us and hit us, we're not, you know, we're not ready for that one yet. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. Give them credit, man. You know, when the player of the year in this league is the best screen setter, whether it's a ball screen, a stagger, a pin down, it don't matter. I don't care what they call it. Schofield, he screens. You know, we're too young on the perimeter right now to deal with their physicality.
South Carolina coach Frank Martin, you're probably not going to hear too many compliments stronger for a basketball team than what Frank Martin was saying there, talking about Tennessee being physical, talking about the number of different players who can hurt you, and talking about the star players, talking about Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, the leaders of the basketball team, doing the little things, screening, doing things away from the basketball to make other teammates better. Speaking of the 7 assists that Grant Williams got against South Carolina, he received the ball kind of around the free throw line and was in a position to go get a bucket or to maybe just put up a shot right there. And instead, he knew John Fulkerson was streaking to the basket, threw up an oop, and Fulkerson dunked it. It was a tremendous play, a heads-up play by Grant Williams, and those are the little things that add up to separate a team from its opponents. That's Tennessee basketball right now. So Tennessee gets the win. Tennessee now has 19 straight wins. It's really an incredible streak. The Vols are 23-1, and it's February 14th. Tennessee has still not been outscored in regulation this season. The only loss was to Kansas in overtime. I've mentioned that before, but I just find that to be remarkable. We're halfway through February, and Tennessee has still not played 40 minutes of basketball where its opponent outscored Tennessee. Now the attention really can turn to Kentucky. Tennessee will spend a lot more time today and tomorrow getting ready for its opponent. So Admiral Schofield didn't have a ton to say about Kentucky yet, but he actually did go into, you know, what stands out about the Wildcats. The question after the game to Admiral was, what do you know right now about Kentucky? Here's what Admiral Schofield said about Tennessee's next opponent.
Honestly, I don't really watch other teams that much. I watch Duke a lot. But I would say that every time I've seen Kentucky, I think the biggest thing is that I think Coach Cal has done a great job this year with just the camaraderie. You know, he's always had talent, but you know, and they're a very talented team this year, a lot of different pieces. And P.J. Washington is playing great basketball right now at a high level, you know, SEC Player of the Year type level. And, you know, just to see his leadership on the team and just how they interact with each other, it's just good to see that, you know, with talent like that, you know, especially having a one-and-done status like they have, you know, in the past, they really haven't had that camaraderie only on certain teams like the national championship team. Maybe the 2-platoon teams when they had Devin Booker and those guys. But I think this year their camaraderie is at a whole different level, and that's why they've been really putting it together and holding each other accountable. So we're going in, we're playing against a great team, very athletic, very long, and we got to understand that, you know, at the same time, they had a tough loss last night, so they're going to be really honing in on us, especially being the number one team in the country. But You know, we just got to take care of what we take care of.
Tennessee senior forward Admiral Schofield, it's going to be a good one on Saturday. Tomorrow's show, we'll spend a lot of time looking at the matchup. We'll get perspectives from both sides, Tennessee and Kentucky, heading into a matchup between two top five teams. ESPN College Game Day will be there on Saturday, and I'll be talking about it tomorrow on Locked On Vols. So Tennessee is now 23-1 on the season, 11-0 in the SEC, and the Vols are playing very good basketball. They will need to do that again coming up Saturday night, which I think everybody knows. Coming up here on Locked On Vols, your team every day, Tennessee football gets called out by an SEC head coach. I'll let you hear what was said and what the thinking is there. Is there much to it? That's coming up next on Locked On Vols, your team every day. Today presented by LearningRx. LearningRx Knoxville, located on North Shore Drive, is a great organization that is in place to help. That's what it's about. And they can help people of all ages. They can help children. If you have a child dealing with learning issues, with reading, struggling with memory problems, call up LearningRx Knoxville and schedule a cognitive assessment. And the cognitive assessment is important to identify what is causing the struggle. Why is there a problem? And then from there, LearningRx Knoxville has one-on-one brain training. And that is designed to help attack whatever the problem is and help strengthen those skills that might be weak. And improving those skills can help your child better process facts and information. That's what it's about, attacking those weak skills and improving them. LearningRx Knoxville can help with that. If you want more information, you can go online to learningrx.com/Knoxville, learningrx.com/Knoxville, or give them a call. Schedule a cognitive assessment. The phone number is 865-246-6326. That's 865-246-6326. If you have a child or someone in your life who needs help, LearningRx is there for you. It's LearningRx Knoxville. So an interesting story popped up from Dennis Dodd on CBSSports.com a couple of nights ago. And it was a story involving Missouri football coach Barry Odom. Missouri is dealing with NCAA penalties that came down a couple of weeks ago. And we found out that several schools in the SEC had contacted Missouri seniors, guys who have 1 year of eligibility remaining, about possibly transferring because they can play right away due to the NCAA penalties. You don't have to be a grad transfer at Missouri if you want to go play your final year elsewhere. And we knew that Tennessee was one of the schools that had called because Missouri had already confirmed that. But it appears Barry Odom has an issue with the way that some of the schools have gone about it, especially Tennessee. Here's the quote that stood out from Barry Odom talking a couple days ago, and this is from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, who you're going to hear from in just a moment. Barry Odom said, quote, "Everybody is going to have a bad day. You combine that with somebody that, who'd we beat 51-17 this year? Tennessee? Yeah, those guys. They are nonstop reaching out daily, saying, hey, come here. The grass is not always greener somewhere else." Odom said that he's having to recruit his senior class again, and Tennessee was the only school that he called out. Other schools have called. Tennessee is the one that Barry Odom took exception with, and he noted when he was speaking that there was a coaches' meeting that was taking place on Wednesday. These comments came Tuesday and said, yeah, it's going to be an interesting luncheon on Wednesday. So where does this come from? Dennis Dodd provided a little perspective. I wanted you to hear this from his appearance on Paul Feinbaum's show on Wednesday afternoon. Where this kind of comes from, why Barry Odom is so bothered, especially with Tennessee, and does Jeremy Pruitt care about this at all? I'll share some thoughts on this in a moment, but this is what Dennis Dodd, who wrote the story for CBSSports.com, said about Barry Odom's comments on the Paul Feinbaum show.
This kind of just happened. I was at a Missouri booster event yesterday here in Kansas City, really to talk to Barry about something else, and he was up on stage, literally on stage, answering questions. And this kind of welled up inside him, the fact that, you know, his SEC peers were poaching players from his roster after the bowl ban. And then he specifically called out Tennessee, which was kind of a surprise to me, and said he planned to make it an issue and a discussion point today at the SEC annual coaches meeting down in Birmingham.
In terms of the protocol here, I mean, it is allowable. It is permissible, is it not?
Yes, it absolutely is. The rule that applies is like 27 years old. And there's not even much protocol. Teams that are suffering a bowl ban their rising seniors can transfer without penalty. And I didn't put it in the column, but Barry basically described the process. It's very unintrusive. The participating school calls up Missouri and says, hey, we're gonna recruit your players, and we're on record as doing it. And that's basically it. So I can see how it would upset coaches. You remember Ole Miss last year in 2018 when they got the second year of the bowl ban. This happened. Penn State, obviously, in 2012 when rising juniors and seniors could leave, and you had entire coaching staffs loitering in the football facility waiting for players to come out. But, yeah, I think it's an ethics thing with coaches more than anything else.
And, you know, he called out Jeremy Pruitt. Now, I mean, do you think Jeremy Pruitt really cares?
No. Look, again, all these coaches have gone through the transfer portal this year or this academic year, transfer reform. They're all worried about the Wild Wild West and free agency. This happens at Missouri. But when it happens on their end, they're absolutely going to take advantage of it. So it's a little bit, I don't want to say it's hypocrisy on Barry Odom's part, because I understand his side of it absolutely. I just think coaches, when they talk about this, look, if it was going to happen to you and you needed a player, you'd absolutely go out and try this. It's just the reality of the world right now.
And I would agree with Dennis Dodd's opinion that Jeremy Pruitt probably doesn't care about Barry Odom's opinion on this, maybe at all. Now, cooler heads could prevail, and there may have been a chance on Wednesday to talk about it, and they can move on from it. But I also would expect that that does not affect Jeremy Pruitt's approach in trying to find players who can help his football team. And I think that's another point here, is it's pretty clear that Jeremy Pruitt is not satisfied with what the 2019 roster is, and I don't think he necessarily should be. But Tennessee is going to attack the transfer market, whether that is a situation like this, trying to take players away from Missouri if available, or going through the transfer portal where names are there and you can start recruiting them. Tennessee is going to look for more help. I think that's why Tennessee wanted to hold some flexibility with the 2019 class in case there was another scholarship to give out, that Tennessee would make sure to have that available for this upcoming season. As for Tennessee and Missouri, you know, part of it is an ethics thing, and I'd say you're going to get different opinions on what is okay. Look, if players are available and you need help, then it's your job to go recruit players, and that's what Jeremy Pruitt is doing. I do think you want to have an overall pretty good relationship with coaches, especially in your own league, and you are competing against each other. So what you do for your school is ultimately your job if you're Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee or Barry Odom at Missouri. On the flip side, he's trying to defend his school, and I'd say it's been a very frustrating time for Missouri the last couple of weeks. So I don't know that anybody's necessarily wrong here. I would not say that Jeremy Pruitt's wrong for going after Missouri players. And again, Tennessee was the only one called out. Tennessee's not the only school going after players. So clearly Barry Odom has taken exception with the way Jeremy Pruitt has gone about it. But again, I'm not sure that anybody is necessarily wrong here. And I would also echo comments that my friend Ben Fredrickson has made with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. There's a little bit of a rivalry that is starting to brew here between Tennessee and Missouri. It's not like Tennessee, Alabama. It's not like Tennessee, Florida, or Tennessee, Georgia, I would even say. But Missouri is at a level that Tennessee wants to get to. Barry Odom was close. Missouri did win 50-17 this past season and in 2017. The last 2 years, Missouri has outscored Tennessee 100-34. So maybe a little bit of a rivalry here. This could add a little bit of juice to the Tennessee-Missouri game coming up on Saturday. Also, let's watch and see if Tennessee's able to get somebody away from Missouri. Obviously, Jeremy Pruitt is recruiting there. Can he land anybody from the Missouri Tigers to help Tennessee's football team in 2019? So some interesting comments there. Coming up earlier this week, I thought this was really interesting. Tennessee, could it be a top 25 team in 2019? Some of the data says yes. The competition Tennessee faces says, well, it's not going to be so easy. Bill Conley of SBNation.com talking about that coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, your team every day. There really is a lot going on, and I'm talking about it 5 days a week with the podcast available on iTunes. If you have time to rate and review the show there, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has, as well as Google, Spotify. Spotify has really stepped up there, so if you listen through that platform, the podcast is available. And then on the third-party apps and your smart speaker, it's Locked On Vols, your team every day. So on Wednesday on Sports 180, we had a chance to talk to Bill Connelly from SBNation.com, because when the S&P Plus projections came out this week, it really stood out to me that Tennessee came in at number 21. Now, that was also 10th in the SEC, and there are six teams on Tennessee's schedule that are higher than the Vols. So that should be pointed out as well. And I think it also stood out to Bill Connelly. Might have surprised him a little bit, but I asked him, why is Tennessee there, and why might Tennessee be able to be a top 25 team this upcoming year? Here's what Bill Connelly said.
Well, Matt, I don't know if I think it yet. There are some things I need to see, but from a projection standpoint, it starts to make sense. So basically, Tennessee ended up 48 in my S&P Plus rankings. My S&P Plus, opponent-adjusted efficiency-based system based around the things that are kind of most replicable in college football. So a lot of success rate type stuff in the formulas. Tennessee was 48. They got a boost from the schedule adjustments because they had the second hardest schedule in the country. But basically, you start there. You add in the fact that in terms of returning production, how I measure returning production, they have the most in the P5. They're at a level that nothing guarantees improvement or regression, but they're about as close to it as possible with what they return. They are in good shape in that regard. You add in a recruiting bump from this class especially, but really the last couple of classes, getting more Pruitt's guys in, and you start to realize, I mean, the depth of this squad, the experience level of this squad is going to be drastically higher than last year's was. I mean, you still have to coach it. That's obviously, we don't know. When I saw the numbers, the first thing I thought of was Kirby Smart, you know, the second year Kirby Smart leap, and now my numbers are saying Pruitt has the chance to do the same thing. He still has to prove he's Kirby Smart. He still has to, Jim Chaney still has to be able to push a lot of the right buttons on offense. There are a lot of questions still, but it does suggest there's a lot of depth on this squad.
Yeah, well, what are some of the biggest questions? I guess part of that would be the competition as well, because you have a number of SEC teams
right.
Ranked in those numbers ahead of Tennessee, a good bit of them on Tennessee's schedule too.
Right, exactly. The SEC as a whole is projected. It graded out extremely, extremely well last year, as well as it had since, I believe, 2014 overall. So, congrats for being a potential top 25 team. Your schedule features almost nothing but other potential top 25 teams. Let's see, their projected record will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 6.5 wins or so with a potential top 25 squad. But no, I mean, I think, the biggest issue for Tennessee last year was that down-to-down consistency. There was big play ability on offense at times. There was big play prevention ability on defense. But just the down-to-down, they weren't able to get off the field. They weren't able to force opponents into second and long kind of situations. And if you were consistent and methodical, you could move the ball on them. Plus, on the other side, Tennessee wasn't consistent and methodical at all. So if you think that's a consistency thing, an experience thing, something that having a junior quarterback now and a couple of junior running backs and more and senior receivers and competition from the new class, you can start to talk yourself into Tennessee being a much more consistent squad. But again, until we see it, we don't know.
That's Bill Connelly from a conversation on Sports 180 on WNML on Wednesday. Check out SBNation.com for Bill Connelly's work. I talked about that piece on Tuesday's show. I always appreciate Bill's perspective. And as we talked about in that conversation, and I'll point out again here, there's a long way to go in this 2019 offseason. Let's see what Tennessee looks like when it hits the practice field in a few weeks. That will give us a better idea in how players are progressing. Jared Garantano tweeted out, I think last night, about Jim Chaney's offense and had a bunch of fire emojis. The excitement is there, I think, heading into year two. The anticipation will absolutely be there, and it's going to be a really important year for Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee's football program, especially considering the competition. And that's something that we're going to have to talk about here over the next few weeks as well. Where is Alabama and Georgia moving forward, but also Missouri, a school we're talking about a little bit this show. Florida, heading into year two with Dan Mullen. It's a very important time for the Gators as well. Mississippi State with Joe Moorhead, he's heading into year two. Mississippi State is on Tennessee's schedule this upcoming season. It's going to be a big offseason for a lot of schools, and Tennessee is absolutely on that list. So coming up on tomorrow's show, Tennessee, Kentucky. I'll have the preview for you. I can't wait for tomorrow's show. There's going to be a lot to talk about with a matchup between two top five teams. I'll get to that on tomorrow's show, which is available 5 days a week. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has, and thanks for listening here today. I'll see you tomorrow on Locked On Vols.